Hi guys, I'm really excited today because I got a really cool award last night and I'm looking forward to talking about that today, as well as a whole bunch of other things that have been going on blog-wise and otherwise as well over the week. I want to start with the award because I am, as I said, like a little bit excited about that because it's kind of a cool thing. I got, being careful not to drop it, this one just here. Now this is the AusCert Award for Information Security Excellence, for an individual at that. They had them for companies and things as well. And I got this award here just last night at the AusCert conference. Now, this is an event I've been going to for quite a few years now, in part because I can walk to it, which is totally awesome. But it is probably our premier InfoSec conference here in Australia as well, certainly one of the big ones. And look, I mean, it's always a really good show, always a lot of fun. But, like, that's extra fun when you get that. They gave me a certificate too, so I got a nice little certificate there with my name on it. And it was a surprise. And I'm sure people always sort of say this when they get an award, because otherwise you kind of sound obnoxious. But I had previously been nominated in prior years. And they tell you that you've been nominated and you know beforehand. And then when you go to the event, it's like in your mind, you're going, okay, well, you know, I've got like a 1 in 3 chance or something of winning. This is going to be what I say if I actually get up to the stage. This time, no nominations. So I didn't even know it was on. To be honest, I hadn't given it much thought. And I end up just sitting down the front with my wife and some friends. And they're like, yeah, Troy, you got the thing. And I had to go up and be speechless, and I'm not normally speechless either, but I honestly just didn't know what to say other than, yeah, look, thank you everyone for like using Have I Been Pwned. Now I did actually write a blog post about this today, so I'm going to do this in a little bit of reverse order. I wrote a blog post and said, look, in all honesty, the thing that I probably should have said straight away, and I realized this as soon as I came off the stage, was to thank my wife for her support, because there's a lot of work that goes into this on her behalf as well. So it's almost like you guys see the output of blogs and Pluralsight courses and conference talks and workshops and all the Have I Been Pwned stuff and everything. But then there's all the mechanics that go on behind that. And the output you see is like the surface layer. So mechanics, it's certainly, especially from Kylie, also from myself in terms of everything that we need to be able to do the stuff that I ultimately end up producing. So I should have said thank you to my wife. Thank you. There was that. The other thing is, and I put this in the blog post today, I kick myself when I think about what I get to do now. The fact that I get to be independent and work on my own terms. I was just before this, I had a call just 10 minutes ago, a Microsoft call, where I was like just laying in the sun with my headphones on, listening to the call and my shirt off in the beautiful winter sunshine. It's winter here, by the way. Very, very nice at the moment. So the ability to do that and then still reach people around the world is just, you know, like I still just find that amazing. But, you know, here we are. So a big part of the thanks for the award goes to people who do consume the things that I make, because that gives me the opportunity to do what I do. And believe me, it can actually be very hard sitting in this environment that you see here most of the time with the doors shut and the music on or something and really not much human interaction face to face. And it actually gets a little bit cabin fever sometimes, and you're here in your own little world just producing digital things. So it's kind of nice when you see that, I guess, manifest itself into something tangible. So, you know, on that front again, for the people that are consuming my info and making this viable, look, thank you very much. That's awesome. Now, on that note, if you do want to consume some of the things I'm up to, I am 3 days away from heading back to Europe. So on Monday, my time, I'm going to head back over to London. Now, I'm going to be at the SC Computing Awards night, another awards night, on Tuesday night in London with Scott Helm, where Report URI has been nominated for an award. I would love to be able to win that. I will think about what I will say if I do. There is some very, very good competition, or there is some very good competition, rather, there as well. Be that as it may, I'll be in London on Monday. Tuesday. I'll leave for London on Monday. Don't mess that up. On Wednesday, I'm speaking at the InfoSec EU conference, and I'm going to be doing a brand new talk. Never done this talk before. It's got a bunch of new stuff in there. I'm going over on Varonis's behalf. I'm going to talk about Varonis later on as well. So I'll be wearing a Varonis shirt and talking a very little bit about them. They're awesome though, so it's still going to be a very, very me talk. But that's going to be fun. That'll be on Wednesday. I'm doing some stuff with them Wednesday night. I'm doing a heap of Pluralsight meetings on Thursday as well. So Pluralsight's asked a bunch of different folks from different companies to come to breakfast, lunch, things like this. So I'll catch up with them and have a good chat to those folks about the cybers. And then on Friday next week, I will still be in London, and I've got a few Pluralsight courses I'm recording with a couple of people in the UK. One of them is Scott Helm. Another one is another guy who has recorded Pluralsight before. So some of you may know him, but I'm going to talk about that later on because there's actually a couple of things we're doing which are really important, but I want to just save that until I get to next week and I can talk about it properly. So that's going to be my travel next week. Now, a few other things. I'm just looking at my list of things I need to remember here. For some reason, I ended up on my Wikipedia page again today. I actually have a Wikipedia page. I know. It's like I've made it. I've got a web page on a site. I learned some time ago, because I don't know a lot about the process that goes into editing Wikipedia, but I learned you're not meant to edit your own page. And I learned that after I edited my own page. And I think I fact-checked something or something along those lines. It was a very, very minor thing. I was there today. There's a lot of stuff in there which is just dated and incomplete. If any of you guys have a penchant for editing Wikipedia pages and you wanted to fill in some stuff about some of the things I do. So, for example, I noticed, I mean, obviously the thing last night wouldn't be on there. Although when people die, they appear on Wikipedia very quickly. If that happens to me at some point, do update my Wikipedia. But for the moment, things like that, my congressional testimony is not on there. And look, a Wikipedia page is sort of an important part of your identity because it is considered a bit of an authoritative source as well. So anyway, to move on past that, if anyone does tend to know what they're doing with the Wikipedia things and would like to spend a few minutes adding some bits and pieces, that would be fantastic. Right, now, other things. Today, only a couple of hours ago, I turned off the non-anonymous endpoints for the Pwned Passwords service. Now, for those of you that have been following Pwned Passwords, the original premise of it in version 1 was that you could search the API for a password. You could pass it as plain text. You could pass it as SHA-1. Plain text, obviously you're sending raw passwords. We know that's not a good thing on the internet. The whole context originally was this is really only for passwords that you no longer use and you're just kind of interested in how owned they are. A straight SHA-1 hash we also know is not very good. We know that's cracked very easily. And remember, the only reason they are sitting in that database as SHA-1 hashes in the first place is because some of them have PII. And I did not want to leak PII. And to qualify that, what I mean by this is some people will put like their name and their birth date in a password. So I really didn't want to have that stuff floating around. That's why they're hashed at all. Now, in that model, regardless of whether you're sending plain text or the hash, you are sending something which really is pretty weak. The ability to not decrypt, don't say decrypt, Troy, this is a hash. The ability to crack that hash and figure out what was in there is pretty trivial. So one of the things that came along in version 2, as many of you know, is the K anonymity feature where you could take the first 5 characters of the SHA-1 hash, send that to like this range API, and then it comes back and it says, here are all the suffixes we have for those first 5 characters and then details about how many times each password had appeared. Because that was so massively popular, and I'm going to talk about just how popular in a moment because that was one of the blog posts. Because it was so popular, I let people know, I think it was more than a month ago, that I was going to kill the non-anonymous API endpoints. Part of it was because I want privacy on passwords. I want to encourage people to do the right thing and not send me something which, even though I do the right thing, is just not a good practice. Part of it also is that because of the fact that the range-based API is limited to 16 to the power of 5 different possibilities, so just over a million different possibilities, the 16 being the hexadecimal number of values and then 5 being the positions. Because of all this, Cloudflare really, really aggressively caches it. I'm touching on 99% of requests to Pwn passwords to the Range API hitting cache. Or in other words, only about 1% of the requests that you guys make, I actually have to pay for infrastructure on Azure to support. This makes me very happy. So those two factors combined meant that I wanted to kill this API endpoint. I gave heaps of notice and lots of reminders about the 1st of June being the cutoff point. Because we're in the future in Australia, it is the 1st of June before other places. So I have killed that endpoint. So that's cool. That has rolled over today. Now, moving on. So let's talk about some of the other blog posty stuff this week. Now, there are a couple of blog posts, and the first one was about the Spanish government. Now, have I been pwned some time ago? Well, let's see, probably about 2 months ago. I announced Have I Been Pwned was now being used by the UK and Australian governments in order to monitor their entire .gov.uk or .gov.au TLDs. And there are many good reasons for this, one of which is that these governments all had lots of different departments already doing their own thing on Have I Been Pwned. So they control domains. It'll be a library somewhere in Outback Australia had managed to verify that it controls the domain and it was doing searches. And there were people there investing effort. And then there'd be like some government department somewhere in Canberra, our national capital. And someone there was doing the same thing. And when we looked at it, we went, well, there's a lot of people duplicating effort. So let's consolidate this. Let's make the ability for the government to be able to just look at all their things in one holistic picture. And because most governments sit on the same, sort of use the same TLD for most of their websites, it makes it very easy. So that was part of it. I gave it away to them for free as well, because it does actually make my life easier as well, having a lot less departments doing their own thing, a lot less sort of individual queries, less support as well. Oh, and plus the other thing is that when the government gets access to their entire TLD, they get to have sort of a much broader overview of everything that is happening in the country as it relates to data breaches in government departments. So it's really relevant to them. If they can say, for example, look, there's just been, let's say it was Dropbox. Imagine I'm there with Dropbox. They could say, look, Dropbox has just been owned. Isn't it curious that we have 5,000 people in the Australian government using Dropbox? Because you could think of what that would mean, right? You got 5,000 people with a cloud-based sharing tool possibly installed on their PC, given they've signed up under their government address. So that was sort of the rationale for it. And that was really, really well received. And inevitably, many other governments have since popped up and said, look, we'd like to do the same thing. Spain is just simply the first one to gear up and get ready and actually get the thing launched since the Oz and UK governments. There are others I hope to have on board in the coming weeks, otherwise coming months. So Spain now joins the list. Spain is a little bit tricky with them. They don't just have TLDs, so we've had to whitelist Spanish government domains so they can only query those domains. If you're a person working for a Spanish company, the government has absolutely no access to that data at the domain search level. So that's really cool. It's nice to sort of have governments on board. It's also nice to have good relationships with governments. And I do keep coming back to this point. I know some people don't like this. I keep coming back to these points that for the most part, and when I say the most part, like 99.9% of the time, governments and the folks in there working in the cyberspace are really, really trying to stop very bad stuff from happening. They're good people working very hard. They're people like you and I who like getting their hands dirty with code and are interested in what happens in InfoSec and all the rest of it. And they're really trying to make a difference. And every single time I meet people from government, they're always lovely, dedicated people. And I'm very happy having those relationships with those people. And as I travel around the world, I'm going to spend a little bit more time catching up with some of the folks in various governments as well. So that's Spain. Spain is on board. Now, let's talk about real-world uses of Pwned passwords. I'm going to get my blog post up. So I was talking about passwords before. Mentioned version 2 came out, had all the K-anonymity stuff, which is awesome. One of the things that I was always curious with, and I got lots of questions about, is how is it actually being used? Because I don't require registration. It's a totally free service, so I don't need to track who owes money or anything like that. It's an anonymous API endpoint. There's no rate limiting. Anyone can go and use it as much as they want. That's awesome. Does make it a little bit hard to know what people are up to. Now, fortunately, I had some very, very awesome companies willingly share quite a bit of information about how it's being used and what they're doing with it. And I want to give you a few different examples here. Now, first of all, some Cloudflare stats. In fact, you know, I'm going to check what I've done today because I haven't looked at it today. My Cloudflare stats were showing that we're going from sort of a month ago, maybe a couple of 100,000 requests a day to the API. And then we go back to like only a week and a half ago, and it suddenly got to 1 million. And then suddenly it's gone up to 3, 4, 5 million requests a day. In fact, here's my stats for the last 24 hours. Last 24 hours, I've had 3 million requests to the Pwn Passwords API. So that's cool, right? Like, that's a big uptick in usage. Incidentally, just in case you want the exact figure, 3,001,263 requests. Of those, 2,955,200 were cached. In other words, I only had to support 46,063 uncached requests that hit my origin server. On an Azure function, that is almost certainly going to fit, even over the period of a month, within the free tier. If it doesn't fit within the free tier, I'll be very surprised if it's more than single-digit dollar amounts for the month. I'm actually looking forward to getting my bill. People don't normally look forward to getting bills. I'm looking forward to getting my Azure bill because I want to see how ridiculously small it is, at least for this service. All right, so getting back to who's using it. Now, 1Password. So we know 1Password was using it. They were the first ones to use it. They turned around 27 hours after I launched it, having no advance notice or anything like that, and they had integrated it into their product, which is totally cool. They then, I'm going to get the date on this, then on the 4th of May, so going back about 4 weeks, they integrated the ability to the web-based version of 1Password to check every single one of your passwords against Pwn Passwords. So you could log on to the website. They've got a web-based, browser-based implementation of the password manager as well, and go, hey, just go and check all of my passwords. And it will come back and tell you. Last week, they launched 1Password 7 for Mac, and that is now built into the desktop version. So when you get 1Password on the Mac, as of last week, you can go through on client side and say, hey, go and check every single password. Now, this never sends passwords to them. It never sends full passwords to me. It gets the plain text password locally on the client, hashes it, gets the first 5 characters, sends it to my API, gets the response, etc., etc. This week, 1Password 7 launched for Windows as well. I've just seen all of my machines just automatically update. Incidentally, automatic updates are great. This is one of the reasons I like subscription models as well. Just keep my software current and keep giving me the best version and don't make me think about it. And I know there'll be some people that go, oh, I don't want updates to happen without me doing it, and I want to roll my own and compile them and install them myself. Subscription models are probably not for you, but then again, 99.9% of people are not you. So anyway, it updated automatically. 1Password 7 for Windows is out there now. They don't have Pwn Passwords baked into it yet. Apparently, it's meant to be very, very soon, but it is coming to the Windows version as well. So that's cool. That's a great use case. EVE Online. Now, I knew about EVE Online on April 28, because I've got an embedded tweet here from Stefan. Now, Stefan is a developer on the EVE Online team. We've been chatting a heap about Pwn Passwords, and his use case with EVE Online, and if you don't know what EVE Online is, it's a massive online multiplayer RPG. Like, it is a huge, huge game. But their use case means that they're going to be, or meant that they were going to be checking a large number of passwords every single day. And we work together quite a bit to try and refine things as much as possible in terms of things like the cache hit ratio. You know, can we cache as much stuff as possible? Because that makes it faster for you guys. So one of the things I've liked about Pwn Passwords is by people using it in anger, it's helped me make it better. And when it's made better, the more people will use it, and the whole thing gets better and better and better again. So he let me know on April 28. In fact, he tweeted publicly April 28 he was going to do this. We communicated a heap backwards and forwards since then. He now has this up and running. It's fully integrated into the login feature of the application, very shortly into registration and change password as well. Now, on this login feature at the moment, they are making 40,000 requests a day to the API. The median response time from the API is 18 milliseconds. That is awesome. I was going to say I know how fast light travels. I know how to Google to figure out how fast light travels. That's just as fast as light, right? So, I mean, this is from, I think their data center is in London. Inevitably, it's going from their London data center, it's going to a Cloudflare edge node very, very close to them. It's 99% of the time going to be getting a response from that edge node, 1% of the time going to be going to the origin, and that's going to tilt the median just a little bit, but for the most part, extremely fast. The 99th percentile response time is 930 milliseconds. That'd be an origin hit, because if they're in London, it's going to be going to Cloudflare edge node, and then it's going to be going right across the Atlantic over to, maybe it even goes across the top. Depends which way the cables go. But it's ultimately going to be going all the way to the West US data center, which is a very, very long geographic distance from London. So that'd account for the 99th percentile. On launch of the service, 18.6% of passwords were found to be previously pwned. Now, think about this as well. Like, if, let's say you're running a company and you get that number, and you know that 18.6% of people using your service are using passwords we've seen in data breaches before. A big chunk of them are going to be passwords which they themselves have used and have appeared in data breaches before. So think about what that means for things like account takeover. Now, that 18.6%, Stefan says several weeks later, that's now dropped to 17.3% because people are changing their bad passwords. This is fantastic. This is what we want. Like, we want to encourage changes of behavior to more positive information security hygiene. He also says there's an uptick in people updating their passwords and enabling 2FA. Fantastic there. Now, here's the really, I love this figure. This is awesome. He says, this is quoted him directly, errors almost non-existent, usually caused by network blips on our side. Out of almost 300,000 requests, we've only seen 100 errors in the last week. That's a 99.96% success request ratio. And we can't for sure blame those 0.04% on the APIs, they could be on our side, which is great. So like worst case was 100 failed requests. Now, I went and pulled stats, and I found that on my Azure function, I just said Azure, I'm turning into an American, Azure. On my Azure function, I saw over the past week, 2 failed requests. So there were 2 failed requests out of a total of 528,530 requests that hit my endpoint. In other words, this was a 99.999% success rate of the queries that actually hit the origin server. However, remember that only 1% of queries actually hit the origin server. So if you were to look at this and say, well, look, what percentage of requests being sent to pwned passwords are successful? That number is 99.99999. Was that 5 nines? 5.9%. Or put in the old availability terms, that's 7 nines. So we're getting 7 nines availability out of it, which is just astronomically awesome. Very, very stoked with that. One of the things I'm most stoked about is what I touched on before, which is that I'm basically doing this for free. And when I say for free, I'm not just giving it away for free, but Azure is not charging me any money because it's beneath that threshold. So that's totally awesome. And of course, that is only possible because of Cloudflare's help. But even on the free plan of Cloudflare, you still get a very, very large amount of cacheability. All right, so that's Eve. Now, Kogan. So Kogan is an Aussie retailer. They sell a lot of stuff online, a lot of electronics online. They're very, very well known down here in Oz. They are using it as well. And they've got a little message that pops up here. If, for example, you change your password to a bad one, It says please use a different password. The one you provided is not secure. To learn about password safety, visit kogan.com/au/password-safety. And then they explain there how they're using Have I Been Pwned and the Pwned Passwords API. So that's cool. Kogan's on board. Now, Okta, I mentioned Okta last week. So Okta built this plugin for Chrome. And this is really neat. They built this plugin called Pass Protect. Integrates into Chrome. When you enter a password on a web page, it's looking to see that you're entering text into an input of type password. And as you remove the focus from that password, it takes it, hashes it, first five characters, pwned password, gets a result, pops up in the web page whether or not that password has appeared in a breach. Actually, let me clarify. I think it only tells you if it has. Otherwise, it's just like an entirely silent thing. This is really, really cool. And they've had all of this mainstream press. So they're here on CNET. Okta's Chrome plugin tells you when hackers have your password. They're here on TechCrunch. They're here on Fortune magazine. New Chrome extension warns you of stolen passwords. And they're on the Daily Mail. Have hackers stolen your password? New Google Chrome plugin will tell you if the details have been breached. Last week, I read some Daily Mail comments and we laughed. I'm sure you laughed when you heard them because they were like, yeah, Daily Mail. But the significance of this is not so much the Daily Mail covered them, but a really mainstream consumer-facing outlet is picking up on this and saying, hey, here's a cool thing. Now, one of the things that is extra cool about this, I'm just looking down my list here, is that a couple of people tweeted about how other services had integrated it. So I've got a mate in Belgium, John. So every time I go to Belgium, I drink beer with John. And John says, just noticed that our webmail now has Troy Hunt's pwned passwords integrated. This is really awesome. And he's got a screen cap of it. And when I saw it, I was like, that's a very familiar screen cap. Got another bloke here, Richard. Richard says, great to see quadco.com has integrated with Have I Been Pwned. Time to change my passwords. Thanks, Troy Hunt. He has offered me beers as well. I'm open to the offer, Richard. But the screen cap that he sent is kind of familiar too. And what's happened, both Richard and John have installed Okta's extension and then they've obviously just forgotten it and gotten on with life and they've gone and logged on somewhere, which might be telling you something about Richard and John's passwords. Guys, if you're listening, maybe think about that. But the point is that the Okta integration was just such a slick experience that they didn't realize that these websites hadn't integrated pwned passwords, but rather the extension had done it for them. And I just think that's fantastic. Like that's just, that is a really, really positive sign if it's such a slick thing that you just think it's a native part of the site. So good on Okta for doing that. They deserve really full credit for that. Now, I signed off on this this blog post and said, look, this is not like, here's pwned passwords for free, but it's one of those things where when it's free, it's not free, it's that you're the product kind of, yeah, some people get really uppity on that. And I've had people say to me, you're just doing this because you're making money out of it somehow. It's like, tell you what, if you can figure out how I can make money out of pwned passwords, please let me know. And I'm probably not doing a very good job of it just for going, yeah, here it is, just go and use it for free. But you can probably sense I am getting a lot of pleasure out of seeing it used. So if you really want to know what the return is for me, I'm having fun. And it's really cool pulling up my analytics on Cloudflare and going, wow, look at that. You know, I'm getting like 99% K-shit ratio. I love pulling up the stats on the Azure website and seeing just about nothing go through and then having like 99s worth of success rate on the Origin server. That's my idea of fun. Maybe it's not everyone's idea of fun, but I enjoy this. I really want to see this thing get 10 times, 100 times larger. I don't care. In fact, I think my K-shit ratio is going to go really high if it really gets hammered. We should test that. Use it more. So anyway, that's all it is. That's the entire story about it. Okay, cool. So back onto other topics. Something a little slightly more serious. This week, in fact, on Sunday my time, I tweeted about the fact that I had removed a sponsor who was scheduled to be on my blog this week that's just gone. I removed the scheduled slot. And this is the first time I've ever done this. I've said no to potential sponsors before because they just simply didn't fit with what my values are and what I think they should be doing. This particular one is a certificate authority. No, it is not Komodo. Loads of people said, is it Komodo? It is a CA who, in fairness, has been pretty reasonable through most of the CA shenanigans that I've been talking about recently. But it is one who I had called out for various things in the past. And the content which was going to appear on my blog was just really not consistent with what my views and my values are in terms of what I think CAs should be doing today. And you've probably seen me talk a lot about the pointlessness of paying money for DV certs, the pointlessness of EV, the fact that it's being deprecated in visual indicators in browsers, so on and so forth, that my dislike of assertions, baseless assertions that it's going to stop phishing, all this sort of stuff. It just didn't fit well. So I got in touch with the organization. I was actually an advertising agency who booked it and said, look, it's just, this is not a good time to have this sponsor on board. So I wanted to point that out just to make sure that people know, like, I am really picky about what goes on there. This is not like advertising where it's a slot and you just get stuff sprayed into the slot. These are got to be organizations that I'm happy to have sitting there really next to my brand. So anyway, that one we cancelled. 5 minutes later, like literally 5 minutes, I had filled that slot with Varonis. Now, I'll talk a little bit about Varonis because I do have a history with them and I mentioned them earlier today as well. They and a bunch of other organizations have reached out recently and said, look, we'd like to have a sponsorship slot. I've got everything booked out until the end of the year. So I've had to sort of say, look, I'll put you on the list. And when I plan 2019, I'll let you know. I reached out to them because we were in active discussions about InfoSec EU next week. And they immediately snapped up that slot. So my history with Varonis, they build a bunch of security products which do things like endpoint analysis, or rather endpoint protection. They do a lot of user behavioral analysis of what are normal behaviors for people who are using the system. You know, like Bob comes to work each day and he loads documents from the sales department and sends a few emails. One day Bob comes to work and downloads 20 gig of data from marketing. Maybe this isn't Bob. You know, and when we say maybe it isn't Bob, maybe Bob's infected with malware or something nasty. So I've done a bunch of work with Varonis around creating courses which they've put out for free. So I did some web security fundamentals stuff. I did a ransomware one a little while ago. I think we've done about 4 or 5 in total. And obviously I said they're getting me over to InfoSec next week as well. So it made sense to have those guys on board. And I hope I do a lot more with them in the future. It will probably fall into 2019 sponsorship-wise. But they're one of these organizations that's just always been really awesome to deal with. Just lovely people who've made my life easy when I've done work for them around creating those courses and things. People I've enjoyed spending time with. I spent a bunch of time with them at RSA in San Francisco last year. I'll be doing some dinner things and bits and pieces with them next week as well, which will be cool. I'm happy to have them up there. It's a company that I'm endorsed in terms of, particularly in terms of the people, as well as what they do. On that as well, one of the things that I was just thinking about recently, like it's become really important, is the relationships with companies like that. Like it's really, it sounds like a crazy thing to say or an obvious thing to say, but it's really, really important to have relationships with organizations where you have like a degree of mutual respect. So Varonis is a great one. You hear me talking about Cloudflare a lot. Obviously the folks at AgileBits who make 1Password, clearly Microsoft as well. These sorts of organizations and relationships, particularly for someone like myself who's independent, and I've got to effectively have good relationships and opportunities in order to actually make any money as well. That sort of stuff is really, really important. And I'm just really happy that there are organizations like that that I think tick all the boxes that you guys would want to see ticked as well, in terms of their, I guess, their demeanor and their ethics and all the rest of it. So big thanks to Varonis for being this week's sponsor. I hope we see those guys again in 2019. So that's it for now. I'll come to you next week from the UK. And in fact, I might see if I can do another one with Scott. People seem to like when I have Scott Helm on these weekly updates. So if you've got any questions for Scott or myself for next week, please let me know and we'll try and get to those. And I will see you from the other side of the world in a week. Bye, guys.